You're listening to SBS News.
There's a stark gender divide in retirement confidence, with new research from AMP revealing only 2 in 5 Australian women feel secure about their financial future, compared to 3 in 5 men. The gap is widest among single and divorced women in their 40s, who are often struggling with work, children, and aging parents. For more, Stephanie Youssef spoke with AMP's Director of Growth and Customer Solutions, Julie Slapp.
So Julie, let's start more broadly. How confident are Australians about their retirement?
Unfortunately, Australians aren't as confident in retirement as I think I would like them to be and they would like to be. You know, more than half of Australians aren't confident about what their retirement looks like. They're looking ahead and they're just not clear about what their super's going to deliver for them from an income perspective, what their assets are going to be, how much their daily living expenses are going to look like in retirement compared to now. And that worry is something that it means that they feel like there's an anxiety about taking that next step.
How do you think that compares to previous years? Are we improving or is it getting worse?
I think it's a difficult question. I think that Australians, there's a lot of statistics to say Australians' financial literacy is worsening. And I think with that, that means that your confidence about the financial aspects of your life become really hard to kind of go, okay, well, if I don't understand some of the basics of financial literacy, then how do I get across owning my own home? How do I get across Bitcoin? How do I attack my super? So all of those little things that you don't know start to add up until you feel like there's so much to know that you don't know what even that first step looks like.
Now, this report shows that women are more worried about retirement on every measure. What's driving this confidence gap and why is it still so large?
There's actually quite a number of factors that are driving it. So what we found was that only two out of five women feel confident about retirement compared to 3 out of 5 men. And I think some of the drivers of that are women's financial literacy is lower than men's. That has actually been worsening, particularly in younger women. Younger women have had a steeper decline. And so that gap between genders is worsening in terms of their knowledge. Then you combine that with the gender pay gap, which is a well-trodden path. Unpaid care, women are still the primary people who provide that support within our communities and to our families. And that means that they're just always a little bit of a step behind. And then you combine that with, you know, being potentially having a divorce, being a single parent and having that primary responsibility, we particularly see a decline in confidence for single mothers. And I think that, you know, it's not something where it's just, you know, women are declining. It's a societal issue that has contributed to women declining.
Well, speaking of single or divorced women, single mums and divorced women in their 40s, especially, confidence drops as low as 19%. Why is that decade so decisive for retirement outcomes? And what's at stake if nothing changes?
I mean, it's such a crucial time for anyone from a financial perspective. You are really making that transition that says, this is what my retirement is going to look like. And if you've got something that disrupts your entire life, it disrupts your financial security, it disrupts your housing, it disrupts your day-to-day living and how you do that potentially with children. You know, like at the most decisive time, you're introducing a lot of uncertainty and you've got to focus for today. How am I going to get childcare today? So you don't get the chance to kind of go, well, what does 20 years from now look like? And so you're not planning for that longer tomorrow. You're just trying to get through this week.
As you mentioned, things like pay gaps and time out of the workforce explains part of this gender gap. But how much of the retirement confidence gap is structural versus something women can realistically change themselves?
I think that there are some structural elements, but what I would say is that sometimes that first step is actually really easy for any person. What we found is that women often don't know who their super fund is. So if you don't know who your super fund even is, you don't know what your balance is, you don't know what insurance sits there, and you're not growing it because you're putting that power into the superannuation trustee to take care of you. And honestly, superannuation trustees really try to do that across Australia with my super, which would be what you'd be in. But like actually finding out what super funds you've got, you can look that up on the ATO. So you can take charge of that, just like where you'd lodge a tax return if you're doing it yourself. You can log on to that ATO, you can see where you've got super. You can then choose to consolidate it, bring it all into one, but then find out your balance, what insurances you've got, how you're covering for your family, what fees you're paying, and what investments you're in, so that you can start to kind of take active steps. A lot of super funds now offer free financial advice in relation to superannuation, so that you can actually sit there and you can type in different scenarios and you can go, okay, well, what do I want my retirement to look like? And you can, at least for some super funds, you can do that from your couch. You can do it digitally. You don't need to speak to anyone. And I think for people with, and this would be particularly for women, if you've got lower financial literacy, then it's a way for you to easily start to get up to speed with what all the options are without any shame about what you don't know. Everyone doesn't know things. Financial services has always been pretty hard. Superannuation has a lot of terms. But every super fund in Australia is really, they've got lots of tools to try and help. And so taking that first step of at least understanding your super can actually put you in a great position.
The research shows that women are more anxious about money but are less likely to seek financial advice. What's stopping them from asking for help?
Think it's necessarily that they don't want to ask for help. I think, the step of, okay, well, how do I find the time to meet with someone? I don't, also, there can be shame about the things you don't know. And particularly if it's, you're post-divorce and your husband used to take care of those kind of things. Like there's a lot of elements that are really wrapped up in that. But just finding the time, what is that first step? How do you find a financial advisor? Sometimes those things are the hard part. I do think that Google is here to help. Can I find a financial advisor in my area? And financial advisors are often really the, they're quite specific sometimes about what they can help with. And, there's advisors that really cater to women. There's advisors that cater for social security advice. I think that finding the right advisor is like finding the right relationship, someone who is going to be there for the long term for you. So it's important to find the right one, but sometimes the first step is the problem for women, and anyone who's less financially confident.
If nothing changes, what does this confidence gap mean long term? Are we heading towards a generation of older women that are retiring poorer and more anxious than men?
We're absolutely heading towards a retirement where women are more anxious and they're not able to spend the money that they've even saved. They actually what we see is that even pre-retirement, women are cutting back so that they can try and improve their retirement outcomes. That continues into retirement. That means, not buying those slightly more expensive biscuits, that is, cost saving at every turn. And the earlier you start, the better your position is to kind of maximize returns, because longer term, longer term, markets do really well, and so you do get the benefit of that. But you know, I think that women taking that anxiety into retirement then means that they're just not confident the entire way through, and they haven't sought the help they need early, and so they just continue to feel that anxiety. Whereas there are so many people out who want to help, so many companies, so many super funds. We all want to help people have the best possible retirement.
You mentioned women cutting back on their everyday spending. They are, according to this report, women say it's important to leave a financial legacy. And yet many of them are cutting back on those essentials out of fear. What does that say about the emotional toll of retirement insecurity?
I think this is one that really cuts for me, because I have a mother who, my father passed away, and she wants to leave that kind of legacy. So I see this in my day-to-day. She wants to leave a legacy for her grandkids. So she wants to have something that came from Nan and Pa, that is a legacy that goes straight to those grandkids. And totally fine, you know. But I think it's the kind of thing where when you see people go, okay, well, despite what my hardship for today, if I can create that legacy, I will do that. And I think we see that in mothers all the time. Like the kind of stories you hear where mothers, you know, they're not having dinner, but their kids are having dinner. I think that that comes from the same heart, which is that I want to leave my kids or my grandkids in a better place than maybe I've been, and they will sacrifice to make that happen.
With financial literacy, we touched on it a little bit before. Now, this report says that Australia's gender financial literacy gap is worse than other countries like the US and the UK. Why are we falling behind, and what needs to change to improve it?
I think that there is an element here, which is basic financial literacy being taught in schools. I mean, the first I ever learned about super was when I got a job. You know, I wasn't really taught anything from a banking perspective, and we're constantly told about houses. Like, your ability to see through, like to understand some of the basics, so that when you're looking at Instagram and you're getting an ad about something and you go, ooh, I don't know, is that too good to be true? Then you can really see through that. I'm constantly advertised for having property within superannuation. And although that is a strategy for some people, you know, it can be offered at a balance that you really can't access that well. And it means you've only got one asset that is supporting your entire retirement. That's a very risky strategy. But I still get offered it on Instagram all the time. It's like I could just click a button and my skincare can arrive tomorrow from Korea. It's just like that kind of purchase. And I think that when you've got a higher financial literacy, that helps. But we're not teaching it in schools. We kind of leave it to particular institutions to try and improve that scenario. I mean, ASIC does have a website called Money Smart, and it is designed to help people, but people have to go there. And I think that you know, rather than going to where people are, like Instagram, and kind of giving some basic financial literacy things that come up as ads, we're very reliant on making people seek things out for themselves. And, you know, it's not like as a consumer, I'd just naturally go, oh, let's look up ASIC today.
So who do you think should be responsible for closing that gap? Like, is it schools, employers, super funds, government?
I think it's everyone. I don't think that any one party can change something. I mean, one of the things that we're trying to encourage people to do is for them to take the first step, to be proactive about it. If you're worried about something, then taking a step to kind of educate does help. But I do think, you know, having something like that in schools, that will take that will now take 30 years to play out, even if that was introduced tomorrow. We have a huge group of people that have missed out on that education for a variety of reasons. And, you know, everyone who works in Australia, whether they had the Australian school system or not, ends up with superannuation. And we need to make sure that they're equipped to deal with that and to consider what it means to them, whether they end up retiring in Australia or New Zealand or wherever they go. So I kind of go, there's a little part that is absolutely, we should be doing more in schools. But there's also a part that is, you know, your super fund has a lot of resources available, reach out to them. But also that means that you're going to need to do some things. And I reach out for those resources rather than being frightened. They're there, reach out, get some help.
For women who are feeling, you know, quietly worried or overwhelmed, what are the first practical steps that that person can take this week, for example, to regain control of their super?
Look up your super online. It's the simplest step. I mean, download your Superfunds app and then you've got it there on your phone, and every so often you get to click it. But this week you can get that app on and you can know your balance. That's the very first starting point. Then you can see, get familiar with what that app does, but you can see what support's available there. But at least you know that superannuation is for your retirement. So this money here is security for the future. And so understanding what that balance looks like is, I think, the first step.